Tonight I'd like to talk about the investment of parents in their children. The investment of parents in their children. There's many ways to invest in your children. In Africa, they have it kind of backwards. They have a system of dowry. And so, if someone wants to marry a young lady, he has to pay a dowry. Only trouble is, that dowry continues the rest of their married life until the parents are dead. And so the married couple is always poor because they're continuing to pay the dowry to the father, whether it's a goat every year or two goats or whatever it is. And we find in the Bible really the opposite system. Rather than the children laying up for the parents, we find a system in which the parents lay up for the children. And certainly, they are two exact opposites. One is an investment. That is the Bible plan. Investment in our children. And probably the greatest investment we can put in our children is our time. I'm sure that as I look back at my life, I wish that I wasn't as busy as I was and would have put more time into my children. And I'd like us to think about some areas in which we need to invest our lives and our children. I realize that some of you don't have children. I realize that some of you are past that time of investment, and you'll have to bear with me. There was a time in which 90% of our church was all parents with young children, and we had a lot of preaching like this, but they're important subjects, and we don't want to neglect that. In fact, I feel like this is what the Lord would have me to speak on tonight. The investment in your children. Number of verses in Proverbs give us wisdom about life. And even as Aaron spoke of the fact that Iraqis are going to do everything backwards because they don't have the Bible. They don't have the truth. And the best thing we could have done is spent $1 billion and give everybody a Bible. I don't even think it would take that much money, would it? And instead we spent hundreds of billions, and it's all going to go down the tube. Except for those that through military came to the Lord and et cetera, et cetera. Investment. Investment in our children. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The investment in training. Notice what it says. Verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. There are many verses in Proverbs about the importance of taking the time to train, to discipline, to correct children. The Bible is obviously full of them. Proverbs 23, verse 13, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, that he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell. Training is a very time-consuming procedure. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time when children are young. We've had the opportunity to have a couple of our grandchildren and have them in our home. And you know what? It takes a lot of time to correct little children. It takes a lot of time. I can't imagine what is happening to the children of the world who do not have their mothers training them, who do not have that all-consuming day. That's right. Many times, isn't that true? That is what a mother does all day long. Is train their children, correct their children, discipline their children. It is a tremendous investment of time, a tremendous investment of self. It's a tremendous, it's a huge investment of a parent in a child. I think if we could just look at life today, we would realize that our world doesn't understand that anymore. Or very little of our world understands that. The significant investment that is needed in a child to train them correctly. To discipline them correctly. The Bible says that they need to be corrected. And they need to be corrected for a very important reason. To deliver their soul from hell. And we could elaborate on that. Many of the parents were in our class on the godly seed and talked about correction and discipline. And that discipline and correction is obviously aimed at the heart, because it is the duty of the parents to break that will, to correct that child, to train that child, so that that heart is ready and able to see themselves as a sinner and turn from their sin and submit to Jesus Christ. What child do you know that has not learned to submit to their parent will submit to Jesus Christ? That's the duty of a parent, to deliver their soul from hell. I was greatly challenged by just having Daniel Van Gelderen talk about music at our school meeting. And he talked about how his mother would sit right next to him while he practiced the piano. Would sit right next to him. And she would correct him. And she would take the time to make sure that he did his practicing correctly. And I think about that. Tremendous amount of investment. And it wasn't just, you know, 1 year. It was years of investment in a person's life. You know, parenting is about investment. It's about giving ourselves to God's precious possession, our children. And there are many There are many things that are taking away, trying to take away from our ability to give that investment. There's many draws on our time that would make us tired and unable. There is a great battle of philosophy in our society of the lack of value of children that starts with even the possibility of abortion, to liberal thinking that says children are a bother. And by the way, you know, our society is about ready to collapse. America, as we know, is about ready to collapse because we have adopted liberal thinking. And our country, the white Caucasian birth rate is almost at 0%. And our society is unsustainable, whereas Asians, their birth rate is way up there, and Hispanics, their birth rate is even higher. Our culture is about ready to fall apart. And it's because the people who claim to know God have adopted the European self-centered materialistic philosophy that says children are not an heritage of the Lord. Children take investment, a huge investment in training. Correction, correcting them properly. There's a huge investment that in teaching, secondly, in teaching them the Word of God. You know, you think of little children, you think of children as a living soul, and you know of their sinfulness, and you know it's just the way life is. You know, kids are sinners. You know, it's just the way it normally is. The other night, Melissa got her second chemo treatment, and she came home, and she is just really wiped out, and her little son, Matthew, sees it. And, you know, he's praying like a trooper for mommy. You know, just praying and praying. And, you know, 2 days later, she is going through all the different processes of chemo, and he wakes up from his nap, and he's naughty. Just plain naughty. I'm sure you never had kids that were naughty. And he's being naughty. And you think, you know what? Exactly the wrong time to be naughty. You know, mom is at the end of her strength. She's ill. And this child needs to be disciplined. It's a huge investment of a person's life to train and discipline a child. And it is far easier not to do it. Secondly, the great issue is teaching. Teaching children. And they need something that is bigger than them. And parents need something that is bigger than them. And they need God's help, and they need to give the children eternal truth. Now, if you weren't raised in a Christian home, there's something that you have to get in your mind, moms and dads. You have to get in your mind that the Bible is the living Word of God. and that the Word of God has supernatural ability to work in the heart of a soul. It is God's message for the soul. It is what children need. They need God's Word. And so we find the great challenge and the great investment of parents, even grandparents, to give their children the Word of God. We need to understand that. That is what they need more than anything else. You know, it's great to learn about Little Red Riding Hood. And it's fun to talk about, Billy Goat Gruff. And all those fun things. And the Little Red Hen and all of those stuff. You know, that's fun. But you know what? They need the Bible. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Mothers need to be convinced of that. That of the power of the Word of God. The Bible tells us, obviously, many great things about teaching. Proverbs 22, verse 20. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge. Verse 21, that I might make thee to know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. He's giving them the truth of God's Word. Notice chapter 7. Just a couple thoughts here. Proverbs chapter 7. My son, keep my words. Notice the setting. It's the picture of a father teaching his children. And notice what he's saying. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. And the law as the apple of thine eye. Now let's stop there a minute. Do you think that from a human standpoint, where does a child get the value of the Bible? You know, the value of the Bible is taught by the very actions and the very demeanor of the parents. And many times, especially the mother, because the mother is with the child all day, or should be, all day long. And there's a demeanor that is transferred. And the author here, what is it saying about the Bible? What's it? It's talking about that this truth is is the law is as the apple of his eye. It's the most precious thing that they have in their possession. They understand the greatness of the value of God's holy word. It's a precious thing. You know, that's an attitude. You know, that attitude comes out in so many things. You know, it comes out in reading the Bible and how the Bible is read and taking every chance to give the Bible to them and reading with them at night the Bible. I remember the time that we had a Bible storybook and we were told, hey, this is a great Bible storybook to read children. I remember that night, I still remember the night my wife said, you know, it's okay to read the Bible storybook. But that's not the living Word of God. That's not the living Word of God. It's nice to tell these stories, Bible stories, but this is not the living Word of God. We're going to read the Bible stories, but we're going to also spend time reading the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible to the children. Because she knew that it was the living Word of God. The Bible calls it the apple of His eye. And there's this this teaching of the Word of God. The precepts of the Word of God. There is this teaching by taking Bible truths and implementing them in the family. And say, hey, you know what? We're not going to do this because the Bible says this. And we're going to do this because the Bible says this. And this is how we're going to do it because the Bible says this. There is teaching by precept, by implementation. There is teaching by correction. Hey, we don't do that. The Bible says this. This teaching. There's another important investment of the parent. Training, disciplining, correcting. There is teaching and giving them the Bible. And you know what? That takes time. You know what? I don't know if so, but you know, normally kids just don't just boom, throw them down for a nap. Now we kind of wish that would be that way because we're tired. You know, but that's not how it works. You just don't boom, take a nap. No, they got to be prepared for a nap. There's a time to teach the Bible. Preparing them for a nap, teach them the Bible. There's another great investment, and I'm just going to call this testimony. Proverbs 22, verse 1. Proverbs 22 and verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name. Parents need to transfer to their children the sense of testimony. May I say that testimony is a sense in which we are not living for ourselves. We are living for God. We are not living for ourselves. We are living for others and to help and influence others for good. You know, I just sense today that in Christianity there is this tremendous loss of sense of testimony. That people have lost this sense of doing right because it is right to be a good example. People have lost this sense of doing right because we are to be a testimony for the Lord. People have lost this sense of doing right because of being the right example. You know, everybody's all concerned today about how they feel inside. They're all concerned about themselves. You know, that's really sad. The Bible talks a lot about a good name. It's talking about having a testimony, being a positive influence on others. You know, everybody here has some kind of a testimony. And you know, It sometimes frustrates me that I see adults who act kind of stubbornly and don't think, and they're living for themselves, and they don't really care what kind of influence they have on the young people. They don't really care about the influence that they have on young people. They don't care about the influence they have on other people. They're into themselves. A very significant part of raising young people and children is to teach them they aren't living for themselves. They're living for God. They're living to have a good name. That means a testimony. And you know, everybody here has been raised in a world that is all about self. And we need to change our thinking when we become a Christian, and we have to start thinking about, hey, what about others? How am I influencing other people? And young person, you know what? If you're going to have a successful ministry, in my opinion, one of the problems today with a lot of ministers and a lot of teachers is they have very short sight, very short vision. They aren't thinking of tomorrow. They're just thinking about, this is what I think, and then this, because that's what I think, that's what I'm going to do. It doesn't matter what kind of influence it has on anybody else. But man of wisdom in the Bible says, hey, I tell you what, there's something more important than the things that this world offers. He says it's a good name, is better, is greater than riches. A testimony. And as parents, we need to be a testimony. We need to be an example. And you know, probably that's one of the things that our children will remember the most, is our testimony. And it will have far more effect on them than we ever think. How do I put that in perspective? You know, going through grade school, I'd have to say, I don't remember one thing any teacher ever taught me. As I don't remember her teaching me that thing. I remember one thing. Boy, it shows I have a very good memory. But I remember one time a teacher teaching us how to do cursive writing. But I don't remember the teacher teach me 1 + 1 or 2 + 2. You know, I remember some of the things later in high school. But you know what? I don't remember hardly any details. But I certainly remember the teachers. I remember the teachers. Testimony. There's a fourth obvious principle, and I am going to call this targeting our children, raising them with a purpose. Notice just a few verses, and we don't have much time. Proverbs 23 and verse 22 and verse 28. Here's a great verse. Remove not the ancient landmark, which thy fathers have set. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Proverbs 23 and verse 26, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. You know, the picture here is a father targeting, planning a target for his son. This is where I want you to go. This is the way you need to go. This is the landmark that has been set. Don't move it. There's a target. Very important principle. You know, that target is very important part of raising children. I'm sure that Stephen and Tina, or even their children who were born, praying that God would move in their hearts. If God would will that He would call them into full-time service. That God would mold their soul, that they would be saved at an early age. That they would pray all that their children would love God and serve Him all their days. There's a target. That is very important in the life of a child and in the duty of a parent. They are as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. It takes a lot of time to give these things to a child. It takes a lot of time to train them. Our little grandkids were sick last week when they were here last week. And between taking care of their physical needs and training them, I could probably say my wife almost got nothing done the rest of the day. We did eat, and there's clothes washed and different things that are always taking place. Huge investment of time. And children need it. They need it. They're crying out for it. They need our time. They need us. Little JJ, when they came, I could tell. We both knew that even that we really haven't had them for a few months now. And the moment they came in our house, we could tell they were just terribly insecure. All that's going on at home, all that's going on with mom, going to grandparents' house, et cetera, et cetera. Mom going to the doctors, et cetera, et cetera. And that insecurity produces a lot of improper behavior. And what were they saying? They said, we need time. We need attention. We need to be able to feel secure. Children take a lot of time. It's a huge investment. And maybe God's purpose in this message is for you to recommit yourself to invest the time that you need to give to your children. You know, sometimes we make a mistake. We make the mistake that the world tells us. That, as the older they get, they're going to need less time. Now, that's true to a degree. But it is not true in another degree. And probably Jeff and Patty are probably at that stage when, you know, they are tired from all day with little kids. And then Emily says, "Can I talk to you?" And what they're thinking is, "I want to go to bed. I am tired." And so there takes recommitment. The commitment gets bigger as time goes on. Because the needs continue. And dads need to set the tone, set the way. They need to decide the direction. But the fact is, mom is usually the main implementator of these things. And so both moms and dads need to rededicate themselves constantly to the needs of their children. And say, "I am going to give the most precious thing I have to my children, my time. I'm going to give my time to my children." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Simple truths of your word. And yet, Lord, we realize as in all things, we're reminded of our memory verse and being made conformable unto his death. We thank you that through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can die to ourselves. We thank you that it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we have learned this great truth. That all blessing and victory comes from first dying to ourselves and allowing you to have your way and your will in our lives. And now, Lord, I pray that you would use your word tonight in our lives. As we give invitation, maybe the world's philosophy, maybe your own sinful nature has made your life to be about you. And that's coming in conflict with God's plan of giving yourself. Sometimes it seems like it's more than we can ever give. But God's grace is sufficient. And perhaps tonight the Lord is speaking to you about rededicating yourself to your task as a parent of giving yourself. Maybe it's in the area of correction. Maybe it's in the area of teaching. Maybe it's in the area of being an example yourself. Maybe it's in this very serious area of having biblical goals for your children. And God is speaking to you tonight about rededicating yourself. Reinvesting yourself. Purposely giving yourself anew and afresh to your children for their souls, for their future, for their life, for their training. And just by an uplifted hand, you say, "Yes, I know that's exactly what I need to do." And by God's grace tonight, that's exactly what I'm doing. Just lift up your hand wherever you might be. God is speaking to your heart. Rededicating yourself to giving yourself to your children, to the task that God has called you to do. Amen. Number of different hands all throughout the auditorium. Praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. Others, God is speaking to your heart. Boy, what a challenge. Our self, is in great conflict. Maybe it's because of that message we preached last night. We've been walking in the counsel of the ungodly. We've been listening to the world. And we have the wrong emphasis in our soul. We need to get back to what God says is important. We need to change our thinking. And God is speaking to your heart to be re-emphasized, to recommit yourself to doing your job as a parent, investing your life in your children. Anyone else? God is speaking to your heart. Father, now thank you for your word, and for this time to encourage your people, and for this time, Lord, to renew our vision and our commitment to do the will of God in our families. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.